However, yeah, let's focus on you because you've been very busy. You know, since, you know, your big surgery a few months ago. Now, for those folks not familiar, Eric had a minor, well, not a minor incident, but an incident that created a story where situation where they had to crack open his chest cavity, do a little work on his valves and his heart and stuff, and I don't know, five-way later.
Yeah, for the record, there was no valve work done.
Okay.
But the plumbing for the heart, yeah.
There you go.
No, ended up having a quintuple bypass, five bypass of the coronary arteries. It was exactly 4 months ago, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Or four months ago as of just a couple days ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's been an interesting road back. But honestly, I'm feeling better than I've felt in a long, long time. And doing good. As a matter of fact, I just finished up, just a couple days ago, finished up my last cardiac rehab. So for the last 12 straight weeks, I've been going through cardiac rehab, which is basically exercising while being monitored. So, they put a 3-lead heart monitor on me and exercise so they can make sure that my heart's not doing anything funky while I'm exercising.
Right, while you're stressing. And
exactly.
Pushing yourself to the limit, make sure that blood's flowing properly and that kind of thing so they can monitor it as it happens. So what, they putting you on a treadmill or something or what? Or bike?
I actually did four different exercises. We do four different exercises just for like 8 minutes each, but they really want you to push it up to your target heart rate, which is about 80% of your maximum heart rate.
Yeah.
And I was doing the rower. I was doing on a fan bike. Then the treadmill, and then a recumbent bike. So they had me doing a little bit of everything, just, you know, some with my arms and legs, some with just my legs, whatever. But it was good. The really nice thing about it and the comforting thing about it was being able to feel exactly what my, you know, what my target heart rate was supposed to feel like. And frankly, I got stronger, obviously, as it went on. But I could feel, I could tell, okay, I'm, without even checking my Fitbit on my wrist, I could tell, okay, I'm about where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, so I got to learn it pretty well.
Yeah.
And that gives me a lot of confidence now that I'm on my own. You know, once you're done with cardiac rehab, you still have to keep exercising. You still have to take care of the heart. And it really has given me a lot of confidence to go out now and run on the treadmill or on the streets or on my bike or do whatever. And go, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm pushing it to the level I'm supposed to be at.
Right. If you feel this way, you know, you don't feel like you're going to die. You know,
exactly.
You know that, like, okay, it's okay to be winded and panting heavy and it's thumping and working the way it should. And you know you can get to that level safely. So, yeah, and I would imagine these Fitbits and things really have come a long way at helping in this type of rehab, I'm guessing. Am I right?
It's funny. Almost everybody in rehab, by the time they're done with rehab, has a Fitbit, you know, with the heart rate monitor, whatever. Or, you know, and it's not just Fitbit. Obviously, that's a specific brand. But I actually had one. I had a Fitbit before my surgery. But it wasn't the heart rate monitor. So literally the week after I got home from the hospital, I upgraded. I went back and got the heart rate monitor so I could keep an eye on my heart rate whenever I, you know, at any given time. All I have to do is tap it and I know exactly what my heart's doing. And so that was a real comfort for me as well. That made me feel confident that I was doing exactly what I needed to be as well.
Well, it was good. And you know, the reason we're talking about this is that, you know, Eric Douglas, he literally wrote the book on diving safety and this massive
book.
Well, one of the big ones for sure.
Right.
And I mean, and you know, he went above and beyond the call of duty to drill home why physical fitness and diving go hand in hand when this life incident ended up, you know, kind of overtaking his life there for a while. And, you know, thank God it worked out okay. But now you are on a mission to educate everybody, to know what the signals are that you could be having a problem. But now you're actually documenting the recovery. Like, who would have thought 4 months later you're almost ready and almost cleared to go scuba diving again? Am I right, Eric, or what?
That's my next step is, yeah. So what I knew before I was out of the hospital back in the end of January, first of February, that I knew I was going to write about this. I knew I was going to talk about this, and I was fortunate. My friends at Scuba Diving Magazine have been really supportive. I sent them an email literally before I left the hospital and said, "Hey guys, what do you think about this?" And they were all about it. They they loved the idea, and so we've published three installments now on the website. It's not on the, not in the magazine, just online. But of me basically going through what the process has been. The first one was about me recognizing or finding out that I had heart disease. The second one was the first month home during recovery. Then the third one was all about rehab. Now the next steps, and you can find those on the scubadiving.com website, but the next step is to keep training and with a real focused goal in mind of getting back to diving. I probably in the next day or two I'll call my cardiologist and schedule another stress test because he's going to want to do that before he'll sign off on that medical form that we all know and love about me heading back to diving. But yeah, that's my goal, and I'm hopeful. Actually, my birthday is at the end of July, excuse me, and I'm hopeful by my 49th birthday I'll be certified and ready to get back into the water.
Yeah, and you know that also corresponds with Bug Fest, Florida Spiny Lobster mini season there last Wednesday, Thursday of July. We're planning to try to get Eric down there for the event as well. Do a little combo thing.
That first trip back to the water, I'm going to be ready to hunt bugs, but I'll be happy to eat the ones that you find.
Well, you can help me be a spotter. You can be my spotter. You know,
I can do that.
I'll be the lobster slayer, and you can be my trusty sidekick, Bug Boy. I already have a Bug Boy. We need to come up with another superhero name. You have to have like X-ray vision or some kind of superpower underwater to kind of spot lobsters. You know what I'm saying? Maybe something like that.
I will do my best.
So, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to overtask yourself by trying to catch lobsters. But I don't know, will the cardiologist or your doctor guy give you the green light to eat them?
I'm sure. But probably I'll have to use light butter or something.
That's
the doctors are.
Margarine or something. Get some kind of special replacement there.
Olive oil.
Yeah, come up with a new recipe. Yeah, butter's hard to eliminate when it comes to catching and eating lobsters. Yeah, absolutely. I usually just take down a big tub with me underwater, but that's a problem I have. But that'll be a nice little goal to have. So the series, though, with Scuba Diving Magazine, you've done three so far, and the third one just recently came out, like last week, is that right?
Yeah, the third one came out just last week, and it's as I'm wrapping up rehab, and actually one of the things I learned during rehab, but something I wanted to kind of talk about with you and your listeners is, you know we've all heard the BMI scales and overweight and obese and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and it's really hard to it's hard to get your head around it, and it's, you know, I don't know about you, but I look at a BMI scale and it tells me I'm supposed to weigh what I did when I graduated high school. We all know that's not going to happen,
right?
But one thing that I learned that's really important and pretty easy, I talk about this in the third installment, is if for a man, if your waist measurement is above 40 inches, then you're actually at a greater risk. The scientists have boiled down all the numbers.
Wow. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. And we'll talk more about this next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Eric Douglas is my guest right now. Now, Eric had a five-way bypass, had some heart issues there about 4 months ago, but he's well on his way back to the water, and that's a good thing. It'll be nice to have him back. Hopefully, by the end of July, we'll be diving together and hanging. But you've been learning a lot about this whole thing, you know, like if you're not taking care of yourself, BMI index or, you know, body mass index, I believe is what it stands for, right?
That's what it stands for, right?
Yeah, you know, the other rule I've heard, other than the 40-inch waist rule, if you're a guy and you have a waist over 40, you're asking for trouble. That's just a big general number, but yeah, that's pretty big. And if you're pushing that far, you probably got some issues, I'm guessing. But the other one is the pinch check. Did they do that one to you, where if they can pinch like an inch or two or inch or bigger of blubber around the midsection there, you might want to do something about that? Is that right?
We didn't get into that. But one of the first thing they did with us
when I started rehab was just take out a simple tape measure and measure my waist, and, mm-hmm. and they do it for everybody. You know, to complete it, it's 35 inches or above for women. So uh-huh. if a woman has a 35 inch waist or above, but one thing to remember though, especially for men, your waist is not your belt.
I'm in trouble.
men wear their pants a little below their belly button.
Yeah, right.
The waist, your true waist is actually above your belly button.
Ah, okay. Now we're really screwed.
Oh, and now you're really screwed. but you know, and I didn't realize any of this, but it's a real indicator, and it doesn't mean you're going to die tomorrow. But mm. what it means is, A, you need to lose some weight and get that in shape, and B, you're at risk. So you know, you need to start making some changes and working on it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a great, great simple way to say, you know, here's a tape measure. If you're above a 40, then it's time to make some changes in your life. And if you're below it, well, you're probably okay, or you know, you can relax a little bit. But of course, if you've got all the other family the family history, or you're a smoker, or that sort of thing, all the other risk factors, then you might need to still make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as far as the weight thing, whether it's 40 inches or 35 for women, I mean, I think most people know if they're heavier than they probably should be. You can look at the mirror when you're naked, and you're like, oh, God, help me. You know, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, but you know how easy it is to deny that, too? And I'm a perfect example of it, Greg. I was, up until the moment I failed the stress test, I was thinking that my problem was probably just indigestion, and I knew I wasn't in the best of shape, but, oh, you know, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right. And, you know, it's amazing how you can justify that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, true. Yeah, I mean, no matter what you know your current situation is, just get out there and do something, though. Make sure you're
absolutely
exercising.
Just move. Get some exercise.
Yeah, the cardio element of just walking a couple miles a day, if you can. And, you know, that Fitbit type thing is pretty handy in tracking those type of deals now. So
it's been invaluable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can kind of just monitor your progress just if you're walking around the office, and then you'll see, hey, I put in 1,000 steps today or 2,000 steps. Day next thing you know, you can kind of build on that, so all that stuff kind of adds up, but you just need to be aware of it, and you know, not to get into a situation where you end up justifying, you know, that full rack of ribs you know,
yeah,
every other week or something, every other day or whatever the case may be. Next thing you know, yeah,
cookies are my downfall, to be honest
cookies
with you.
Yeah, they are the devil's candy. Absolutely. I hear you. But it's good to know, you know, that you're on the mend, and that, you know, this life-changing event looks like it's changing it for the better. I've seen the pictures on Facebook. You're looking quite svelte, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Actually, one of the things that they told me when I finished up rehab was I had lost actually 5 inches off my waist.
Ooh.
So, you know, I'm feeling good.
You're going to need to get a new wetsuit, man.
Well, actually, just the old one I have will probably fit better now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is what it was supposed to feel like. I can actually breathe. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. But as far as, you know, where you want to go, I mean, are you looking for any other goals other than just diving? New places you want to, you know, want to visit as a diver once you get the green light from your physician, or what?
You know, I tell you what, I haven't really gotten that far, although I'm working on both a novella, a Mike Scott novella, so a short story, mm-hmm. and the next new novel. And well, the novella is actually set in Curacao. And I haven't been down there in 5 or 6 years, but so, you know, maybe back to the ABC Islands. That would be a good place to hop off to next. The next novel, next full-length novel, I'm planning to have it in out and around November. It's going to be set in the Florida Keys. And you know what? I've been all over the place, but I still get a thrill out of going to the Keys and diving. It's some of the most beautiful diving, and you can drive there if it's within reason, or, you know, a quick plane ride and you're in the Keys. And,
sure.
That's one of my favorite places to dive.
Well, I agree. And we need to go down there together and visit Withrow Key. We'll just pick one and call it that. How about that?
We'll just call it that.
That's his fictional novella series, which, by the way, he wrote Lionfish and incorporated some of our scuba radio crew into it. So who knows?
One of the great things about writing fiction is you can just make stuff up when you need it.
And now you know where he gets all his inspiration. So in his next novella, Mike Scott has a heart attack or something. I hope not.
Are you probably not, but we'll see.
He pulls a few elements from real life, and that makes it just that much more of an enjoyable read. Booksbyeric.com. Check it out there, and make sure you follow up on his series on his recovery at scubadiving.com. All right, Eric. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Greg.